International Criminal Court, the ICC. When asked about Al Jazeera's request to the court, Ned Price said, "We maintain our long-standing objections to the ICC's investigation into the Palestinian situation. The ICC should focus on its core mission, and that core mission is of serving as a court of last resort in punishing and deterring atrocity crimes." Shirin Abu Akleh's assassination spurred worldwide condemnation and demands for justice. The Israeli regime, which human rights groups charge with imposing a system of apartheid on the Palestinians, receives $3.8 billion in U.S. security assistance every year. On Tuesday, State Department spokesman Ned Price reiterated a U.S. call for accountability in the case. He noted, "We said consistently that this needs to be investigated and that ultimately it needs to culminate in accountability. We continue to have conversations with our Israeli counterparts about the importance of accountability." But when pressed about opposition to the International Criminal Court's involvement in the case, given that Israeli authorities have ruled out a criminal investigation into the assassination of the Palestinian-American journalist, Ned Price said, "Accountability in this context relates to general procedures by the Israeli military to ensure protections for non-combatants." In September, after the Israeli military admitted that one of its soldiers murdered Shirin Abu Akleh, Washington scaled back its calls for accountability, urging instead an Israeli review of its military rules of engagement to mitigate civilian harm, a demand that was explicitly rejected by the Israeli leadership. Previously, the Biden administration had rejected calls for an independent investigation into the assassination, insisting that Israel is able to investigate allegations of misconduct by its military forces. Numerous U.S. legislators, including some staunch Israeli supporters, had called on Washington to launch its own investigation into the case.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Back to Reality. This is Asma, your humble host. Once more, I have the privilege to be here with two very dear guests, Sister Zainab and Sister Bita. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Asma.
Thank you for being here.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Today I'm really happy that I have the honor to be here with you two and our dear listeners.
Thank you. And we have the pleasure to have you both in here.
Thank you.
Now, as the ritual of this program, I would like you to give us a very brief introduction about yourself.
All right. I am Zainab Askari, and I am done with Master's in Linguistics from Kashmir University, and then I came to Iran, and I'm studying in the seminary school right now.
So I wish you luck. And you, Sister Bita?
I'm Bita, a medical student, which I'm really interested in this topic, which we discuss here.
It is the truth. There is no way to ignore death. Because one day, or I don't know, 1 hour, there would be this world without me.
If you allow me, I want to add something, you know, because my study field, I'm really attached to death, you know, because, you know, we're going to go to hospitals and every day there are even a group of families who are dead because of accidents and so on. And unfortunately, after a time that you see death a lot, you will be numb about it.
And, is it?
Yeah, as doctors, unfortunately, there are many doctors who actually have no feelings about someone being dead. And, you know, they look at it as a piece of meat, exactly like a piece of meat. You're a piece of meat.
But that's very, very
sad. That's really disastrous, I think, this feeling. And I'm really starting on this issue that what is death? And for example, sometimes in medical issues, I am the one who will choose that person with that or not. And what are these, for example, medical development that we have that is delaying the time of death of people? What are all these, and what are the way that we can, for example, make human beings somehow immortal? But sometimes I think about it in my imagination, and I think
Will remain as in just imagination.
Thank you for your courage. That
I will
you're
guarantee
giving
that
me.
For you.
Thank you for your frustration, but you know, sometimes I feel like disastrous that if human being was immortal, that would be a disaster, I think.
Exactly. Now I want
Sister Rita, have you? I think whatever I'm hearing from her conversation, yeah. I guess she reads a lot of near death experiences. Do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why she loves death, you know. Now, because one of the common points is to us in all the near death experience stories is that everyone who has experienced that says that all of a sudden all stress was taken away from me. All of a sudden all stress was taken away and I was happy, I was enjoying.
Yeah.
And I met
I
all those
I want to go experience it. Come on, save me.
So yeah, I think she has read a lot of near-death experience stories. That's why she loves to experience this.
Yeah. Now, let's keep it there at this very nice cliffhanger and then we'll be back. Thank you, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. We're discussing death and how to make it sound a little better and not as scary, of course. You know what? I guess if there was no death, life would have got no meaning.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because if there is no end to human greed, to human wishes, to human whatever effort they do, then there is no meaning in their life. Without death, we will never have any meaning in whatever that we do. Right.
Interestingly, that day, the day you leave this world, even those who hated you till yesterday, they love you that day.
Yeah, exactly. And they think like, okay, she were really amazing. And I don't know if she really
only
is
remember
really
your good things.
Yeah, exactly.
Good things you did to them. So yes, death gives meaning. I agree to that.
Yeah, that is very true. And you know what? When we actually are going to, sometimes when we think about death, and then I constantly hear that, okay, the life in there is eternal and there's no end to it. That sounds odd to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We usually, as human beings who have been used to start at a point and then end at another point, then thinking about an eternal life is something very strange.
It is, I think.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that we are comparing our power with the power of God, you know.
Exactly,
and it's
the
problem that we are actually challenging with about afterlife. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you have to think about a point that if there were no death, you know, what would you be? Because from another perspective, you told me that, okay, we would feel numb and life would be meaningless or something. But from another perspective, you know, a human being has a special greed in itself, you know.
Exactly.
And because of this greed, if there were no death, it means that you feel so much powerful, more powerful than what you feel today. And this power that you feel in yourself would make you a monster, I think.
Exactly. I have constantly heard the elders making the prayers, oh, Allah, take me from this world while I'm not dependent on others, while I'm not burdened on others. So, you know, when if you imagine like you're not going to die ever, but with age, you're going to be more dependent on others.
Yeah.
Kind of, you're going to be, not kind of, you're actually going to be burdened on others. And I have often seen those great grandparents praying that, oh Allah, take me from this world without being burdened on others. So actually,
yeah,
they pray
true.
For a death.
So take me before I get old.
Me too. I have the same entry point of view. I don't want to get that much old.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very good. Before seeing the old age, too much of the old age,
exactly.
Then take us.
Well, time is not the fool of rosy cheeks and rosy
exactly.
lips.
Yeah, now the listeners must say the people in here are very much depressed and done
yeah,
with their
exactly.
lives.
Exactly.
No, it's not actually like that, but I guess.
I think I'd like one more thing. The point we were discussing at the starting of the discussion, why it sounds scary, is because I am aware of my deeds.
Every person. This is the very much important fact.
This like every person. Yeah. Not, I am not aware of all your deeds.
Yeah. Dark fact.
I'm not aware of your all deeds. Only the person himself or herself is aware of each and every minute thing she has done, he has done in the lifetime. Mm. And just because there are some dark parts, you want to go to that world. You're not ready. You know there's a transfer. Yeah. You know now you have this firm faith that it's my just body that's going to be,
decayed.
Buried.
Yes, that's going to be buried and I'm going to have a transfer into some other world. You have this firm faith. But why you still scared? Why you still scared? Why? You know there are no tensions in that world. There's no stress of job, earning money and other things.
But there's another thing we also know. We have to pay for every single thing we have did.
Exactly. They think, missed call, I don't know.
For every single thing we have done.
The minute thing that you have not even imagined is being recorded.
Exactly, yeah.
And I know that.
As we have it in the Holy Book of Quran, whatever good and bad you have done, even if it is the tiniest thing in the world, you are going to pay for it. So this is the scary part of death, you know? You have to stand in front of a judge, in front of a fair judge, and then you have to justify, you have to acquit yourself.
Exactly, and I think this is the point.
Yeah.
And the gist of our conversation is that we have to be scared of this.
You added a very nice word to it, fair judge.
Yeah.
Because if he's going to forgive me all my sins, then he has to forgive all others, and that's not fairness. So she added a word, fairness, to God in terms of judgment. That was really that I have to be concerned about my the book of deeds, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the important thing. Death is a word that might have some depressing connotations, but it actually is not like that bad. Well, it is, but it's not that bad because it's something actual. It's going to happen one day. And we know that we're not going to live an eternal life.
Well, if Sister Asma and Sister Beta promises me that we are going to meet there.
Yes.
And we're going to be friends even there. Nice. So then it would sound even more tastier.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Think about this.
I will see you.
We could even get united in there. After the judgment is done, then we could get united in there. And this idea is actually one of the relieving points about death. You know, when I think that, okay, after death, I could meet my family again. I can have my friends again.
And
upon all of these things, you know, in our theology book, I remember there was a sentence that whenever I just remember that, it hits me, you know. It's very much shocking, interesting.
Tell us that.
And it's very much awkward. It said that you can never meet the Lord, but when you get there into the heaven, you would feel the satisfaction that he has towards you and also the satisfaction you have with him. So this is very interesting, you know. We can never, it's like, you know, you love someone, you can never meet him, but you would feel him forever. And you would feel that he is there just right beside you.
So this is a philosophical feeling.
Yes, it is very nice and very interesting. And I guess this is another positive point of death.
It is.
Because in Surah Al-Shiqaq as well, we have, after so many swearings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, tabakan an tabak, stage by stage, you are moving ahead towards the meeting with me.
Yeah.
And in another, again, after so many swearings and other things, he puts very much emphasis on this verse, probably verse 19 of the same surah, that you are very close to your death. The step by step, the days you are actually passing on, the time that is going. Yeah. Or in another surah, Surah Asr, that it swears by the time that you are spending, you are in loss and just, you know, think about, you know, all those swearings in Quran are actually a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sign of his merciness that he is telling us, hey man, you're going to meet me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to taste
death. And then we have it in another place, we have it that when a person is dying and then our soul is getting out from our body, nobody is close to us. Nobody is knowing what we're going through, but Allah is closer to us even from the veins.
Jugular vein.
Yeah. So he is going to be that close to us in those moments. We're not left alone.
I'm saying that we know death is there and we are ignorant towards it. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears so much in Quran and then gives us a wake-up call. Remember death. Yeah. Remembrance of death is very important. In Surah Taqasur as well. You are seeing so many graves. Doesn't anything happen to you? Don't you remember death?
Remembrance of death is the remembrance of God.
Exactly.
You know, and that's just the point.
Yeah. Remembrance of death is the thing that is going to help us improve our deed. And then when we improve our deed, we're going to have much reliance and assurance in Allah. And then we would no longer feel so much scared of death.
And deed would actually make you help get your book of deeds in your right hand. And we see so many verses that say, you'll get book of deeds in your right hand or in your left hand. When we say in right hand, you're going to meet face to face. When we say you're going to get book of deeds in your left hand, that means you're going to have a meeting from behind.
Yeah.
You're not going to meet face to face.
I wish a right hand for you both.
Yeah, me too.
I wish that for you too.
We wish we could meet there together again. But then, as for today's episode, everything is over. Time is passing. See that quickly everything is going to end. All of a sudden, we have to say goodbye to all the loved ones. And then also, there was a poetry. I loved it very much. And it is very true, I suppose. It says, do not come at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. And that is actually the gist of whatever we talked about. Death is not going to be an ending point. It is just the start of a new journey. Death is not going to be the end of us. And I guess as we grow older, we understand this by every single cell in our body. And we're going to have much insurance in Allah. And then everything is going to be easier for us. So departure is always difficult and it has a bitter taste. But it is something fatal and it's going to happen one day. And if you think about the other world and getting united with your loved one in there, and having a life which is going to be eternal, then death is not going to sound as bitter as it sounds when you do not think about it properly. So that's it. I wish you have a good time. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
For a couple of months now, street protests, riots and vandalism have been going on in Iran. It is an odd situation in that few segments of the society, with their own self-interested scores to settle against the Islamic Republic of Iran, have basically joined online to create a virtual environment where, to the simple-minded, it would appear that the Islamic Republic is in serious trouble. The truth, to put it rather mildly, is way off the mark. It is uncertain what has become of the unrest yet, but the Western press has spun a narrative that the majority in Iran is against the government, and that's not true, according to independent international journalists. Aside from the riots and street vandalism, there is a legitimate protest, all right. For the most part, a section of the urban middle class and a large section of the upper class are protesting against some social issues related to the morality police and government inactions. This includes men and women. However, to believe that they form the majority is to let the imagination run wild. In total numbers, they form a small minority of the Iranian 87 million strong population. For an analysis of the current state of the unrest in Iran, stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. Despite the extreme efforts by the anti-Iranian media and writers to convince the world that the protests are widespread and the country is crippled, the majority of people lead their normal lives and the fake and real dissent mostly show up in virtual networks.
Cognitive warfare is successful when it uses mass media and social media. It needs to involve celebrities and separatists and move towards civil uprising to hinder democratic processes. It appears that we have been facing a cognitive warfare campaign in social media. It brought different layers of economic, social, and political elements to the fore in order to advance its purpose, which was to cripple the democratic processes in Iran.
In Tehran, with a population of around 9 million in the city and 15 million in the larger metropolitan area of Greater Tehran, even if one person turns out for protests, it will constitute a sizable number. But their percentage remains just that, approximately 1%. As such, a revolution will remain a distant possibility without the presence of a critical mass.
In relation to what's actually taking place right now in the country, we hear different analyses about it. It has a few definite components. One is the fact that, after all, there are some demands by the society, even if it wasn't expressed in appropriate ways. But these demands had to come to the surface, and in every democratic society, this process is ongoing and routine. Naturally, the establishment needs to be responsive to these demands as long as they are within the law and have not crossed the defined boundaries of the country.
Furthermore, an aspect that observers with vested interest tend to miss is that pro-government rallies in Iran are substantially larger than the anti-establishment rallies, which substantiates the argument by socio-political experts that the majority still believes in the Islamic Republic. But since the news of the unrest reaches the global audience after getting manipulated by the Western press, the truth becomes the casualty.
We've been forced into a dirty war imposed by our enemies in the recent unrest. This will pass, but America's enmity towards us is endless. It seems like, other than the disintegration of the Islamic Republic of Iran, or giving them ransom, Americans won't be satisfied with anything else. They're using their media full force to bring us down to our knees, because they're afraid of our strength and progress. Yes, this will pass, and we will not lose this battle either.
Iranian officials believe that maybe if the Islamic Republic, like some other countries, such as New Zealand, had a secret way to censor famous virtual networks like Facebook and Twitter, the recent unrest would have ended sooner. In March 2010, New Zealand Department of Internal Affairs stated that such a filter was operational and in use. Tech Liberty NZ, the New Zealand organization defending civil liberties in the digital age, objected to the launch of the filter, but DIA defended the system and noted that trials over 2 years showed that the filter did not affect the speed or stability of the internet for end users.
In normal situations, if you take your camera around the city, in front of the parliament or some ministry buildings or social security offices, there isn't a week that goes by without seeing some groups making their case and have some demands. Of course, they get permission before doing so. This is for real. I'm sure many times your cameras have captured footage of it. But suddenly we see a process that starts in some way and ends up differently. The enemy is after picking his fruit. What is the process? It's a scenario in which hatred towards the government is blown over by spreading lies and untruths in order to impact people's minds. For instance, they convey to people that whatever freedom you have, which might be even greater than that of Western societies, is not actually freedom, and try to convince you of that.
In the recent unrest in Iran, those people who have been protesting democratically, according to some local politicians, might have even managed to extract some concessions from the establishment. However, the protests have often been marred by another group. This particular group also comes more or less from the same social background, but have grown up on a sustained diet of anti-Islamic Republic TV channels hosted by an excessive number of groups, including the US, the UK, and Saudi Arabia, but also MKO terrorist cult and the monarchists. It is this group that penetrates most of the protests and turns them into a riot that then turns into a cycle of violence. We must remember that many of the folks killed in the violence in the last couple of months are security personnel. If so many security or police personnel had died during a protest in any Western country, especially in the US, the protesters would have been crushed with the most brutal force.
Western media outlets exert their influence based on spreading lies, deception, disinformation, and writing fake death stories. But our security police force went to work based on the plan to calm the situation as peacefully as possible. And this is what happened. We saw that security and police forces approached the crowd without weapons. This is unique in police history. That is why you see the prime ministers of England and Canada order reckless crowd control methods towards the recent demonstrations in their countries.
Then there are CIA and Mossad supported separatist groups, right from Baluch-dominated Jaish al-Adl in southeastern Iran to CIA-trained Kurdish groups who find sanctuary in Iraqi Kurdistan. These groups have used the opportunity to mount terrorist attacks as the Iranian security apparatus gets distracted by the planned protests and riots. The horrifying memories of a similar terrorist attack last month by Daesh operatives at the Shah-e-Cheragh shrine in Shiraz are still very fresh in the minds of most Iranians and terror victims.
You are not letting people express their desire. For instance, the Sanandaj merchant who says, "I spontaneously got in that situation when President Raisi was visiting Sanandaj Bazaar." He says, "I offered some chocolate as an ordinary act of kindness, not anything political, but it was interpreted viciously by those who have been creating hatred and havoc in Kurdistan. They subjected him to threats and harm." Well, what happened to this merchant is a small act of dictatorship itself. And is this an example of how you want to run the country? So this example reveals what these enemies are about and also those who are leading them from outside of our borders.
In the last few days alone, at least three commanders of the terrorist groups opposed to the Islamic Republic, namely Kako Aliyar, a central committee member of the Komala Kurdish separatist group, Mima Mohammadi, a senior Peshmerga commander, and an unnamed commander of Baluch Jaish al-Adl group, have released video messages admitting how they have coordinated with and facilitated rioters and terrorists inside Iran in planning and executing these violent attacks that killed several members of the Iranian security apparatus.
Predictions based on the scenarios that Western think tanks are writing and planning are that they are after extending and stretching creating this environment in hopes that either this situation will push the Islamic Republic to compromise on its stance or, in their perception, collapse and be disintegrated. However, the truth of the matter is that in terms of security, the country is fully secured, but naturally, we can expect to see some flare-ups here and there. Of course, the axis of this animosity is clearly the US, its European allies, the Zionist regime, and the regional mercenaries.
These messages indicate that in many ways, the playbook appears to be a repeat of Syria and Libya. A small but violent group is propped up by the Western intelligence agencies through their original assets, and the protests, which start as legitimate, are then rapidly turned into a fertile environment for these violent groups. There is plenty more, right after a quick diversion into world media. Here is how it looks on the page. Al Jazeera reads, Iran sentences four people to death for cooperating with Israel. Four people have been handed the death penalty by Iran's judiciary after being accused of working with intelligence services of Israel and kidnapping, according to the semi-official Mehr news agency. Referring to Israel, Mehr said on Wednesday they were sentenced to death for the crime of cooperating with intelligence services of the Zionist regime and for kidnapping. With guidance from the Zionist intelligence services, this network of thugs was stealing and destroying private and public property, kidnapping people and obtaining fake confessions. Tasnim News says, Iran to file complaint to FIFA Ethics Committee against US soccer team. The legal advisor of the Iranian Football Federation, Safiyullah Faghanpour, said the sports association will file a complaint against the U.S. soccer team with FIFA's ethics committee after the U.S. men's national soccer team disrespected the national flag of Iran. Respecting nations' flag is an accepted international practice that all other nations must emulate. The action conducted in relation to the Iranian flag is unethical and against international law, Faghanpour said. The U.S. football team breached the FIFA charter by posting a distorted image of the flag of the Islamic Republic of Iran on its official Twitter page, for which a 10-game suspension is the appropriate penalty. FIFA implemented a more stringent punishment for racist behavior in 2019, doubling the minimum suspension from 5 to 10 games, and the governing body has shown that it will drop the hammer in high-stakes games. The Guardian reads, Klinsmann to call Kayrosh and calm things down after Iran dispute. Jürgen Klinsmann has pledged to call Carlos Kayrosh in an effort to smooth things over after his contentious comments on the Iran coach and his team. After Friday's 2-0 win over Wales, the BBC presenter Gabby Logan talked about Iran's gamesmanship and said they just stayed on the right side of the law before handing over to Klinsmann. Yes, that's their culture, he said. Their way of doing it, and that is why Carlos Kayrosh fits really well with the Iranian national team. Kayrosh continued, As an American-German, we understand you are no supporter, no problem, and despite your outrageous remarks on BBC, trying to undermine our efforts, sacrifices, and skills, Kayrosh said. Kayrosh then called into question Klinsmann's official role with FIFA. At the same time, we just want to follow with full attention what will be the decision of FIFA regarding your position as a member of Qatar 2022 Technical Study Group, because obviously we expect you to resign before you visit our camp.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Meanwhile, another released video, this time of the judicial trial of men involved in the brutal killing of a young Iranian refugee, has been circulating on social media, with confessions from offenders on how they murdered Sayed Ruhollah Ajemian. He was stabbed to death by a group of riders armed with cold weapons in early November in Karaj City, the capital of central Elbors province near Tehran. During the trial, Mohammad Mehdi Karami, one of the offenders, described how he and his accomplices killed Ajemian. He told the judge, "I heard someone say there is a Besiji man out there. I turned around and saw he had fallen to the ground and three people were surrounding him and beating him. The young man tried to run away," Karami said, "but everyone was hitting him with stones, knives, even bare hands. Their attitudes were weird," he said. The video of the trial in the Persian language showed at least a dozen young men present in the courtroom who confessed to their role in the killing of Ajemian, with some asking for forgiveness, saying they were carried away due to foreign media incitement.
"Naturally, due to our country's many adversaries, we've been involved in a hybrid war in the past few years, meaning that the enemy tries to use all of his tools, be it at street level, in cyberspace, security, and media, to complete the hybrid war puzzle. It's predicted that it will sustain the effort to ride the wave caused by the social unrest and misdirect it for its own purposes and change events to riots and such."
Meanwhile, as the campaign of false news against Islamic Republic continues, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has joined the chorus of social media trolls, spreading a flagrant untruth. When the propaganda wing of MKO in Albania floated an absolutely bogus story of 15,000 protesters being condemned to death by the Iranian Majlis, even the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau fell for it. He used the opportunity to tweet that Canada condemns the Iranian regime's brutal decision to execute almost 15,000 protesters. He had to later delete the tweet to stop the embarrassment. Not for a second did any of his advisors stop and ponder as to why Majlis, which is a legislative body, would award death sentences and not the judiciary.
Spreading lies and false news has had many faces in the recent anti-Iran campaign. For example, on a daily basis, there was a claim that a certain person was allegedly killed by security forces, while there were other reasons leading to their deaths. Case in point, Nikash Shakarami, who actually fell off a building. Parsa Akbarian died of cardiac arrest at school. Negin Abdulmaliki, who was taken to hospital due to alcohol overdose on the day of her death. Atef Naomi committed suicide at her home.
In light of the recent Western media campaign against Iran, even the Soccer World Cup wasn't left alone. Football, too, became an increasingly heated flashpoint in the last couple of weeks, with the World Cup providing the Western media outlets another global spotlight to attempt to push their agenda on the unrest inside the Islamic Republic. Iran's head coach Carlos Queiroz confronted a BBC journalist following yet another press conference dominated by questions over political issues in Iran. The head coach demanded to know why other football managers do not face similar questions on political situations. In a video shared by a BBC reporter, the head coach asked, "Why don't you ask Southgate these kinds of questions? Do you think it is fair also to ask other questions to other coaches?" he said. "That is the only question I have. Why don't you ask the other coaches? Why don't you ask Southgate what do you think about England and the United States that left Afghanistan and all the women alone? Why don't you ask that?" he added.
"The World Cup seems to have been a hindrance in the uprising process. Whoever wanted a disunited Iran, this was an impediment for them. The World Cup can form and boost the national identity. For this reason, the most important effort the enemy could have had was to create distraction. They wanted to obstruct unity and prevent the search for identity in the World Cup platform. This was the best opportunity for the Iranians to feel one, and the adversaries went towards distraction, giving them damning labels and throwing off the concentration of the national team."
Meanwhile, the enemy's repeated attempts through hostile media to create strikes in Iran with the intention of disrupting the economy hasn't really worked. Riders have even resorted to threats on truckers, merchants and other citizens to join the strike. But workers are not yet joining in large numbers or staging mass strikes to put significant economic pressure on Islamic Republic authorities. On social media, the hashtag General Strikes has trended since the beginning of the protests. However, these attempts were unsuccessful. None were large enough to affect the production of goods or the provision of services. The bazaar strikes largely consisted of shop owners boarding up their windows to prevent property damage by vandals. The oil strikes were limited to small pockets of contract workers, mostly during lunch or shift breaks. The teacher strike was limited to only a few classrooms outside of the capital. The much-anticipated general strike has yet to materialize.
There seems to have been a variety of suggestions as to what changes can be considered. We are hearing words from the head of the parliament and other officials about modernization of the government. What's important is that there is a consensus about the need to reform ways of interacting with society. Creating public satisfaction is a principle that has been accepted. This is not reflecting deep changes. It can be about developing social agenda in some fields. Perhaps layers of the society haven't been heard of the way it should have. There should be plans about utilizing our youth in more productive ways. In general, there is an ongoing consideration by politicians in redesigning civil management as well as the planning of the structural changes to the establishment.
Local politicians are prepared for the West-backed regime change operation against the Islamic Republic of Iran to continue. Socio-political experts believe that this is the most sophisticated attempt in the four decades against the country. But at this point, there is but one certainty. The attempt is going to fail.
The issue of hijab is separate from the police force. Hijab is an issue that's been seen in our constitution. Dress code exists in every culture around the globe. The hijab that exists in Islamic Republic law is very broad and can be inclusive of a variety of clothes and coverings. But the second part of the issue you are bringing up is a tactical measure to protect the Islamic covering. Morality police or public security could be abandoned. We could have an alternative method to advance our ultimate goals. We have a goal and a method. The goal is to have a decent dress code and the rule of Islamic laws. As far as the tactic is concerned, we also believe that perhaps morality police wasn't the best way. The Islamic Republic could review its ways in finding appropriate tools. This door is open to it.
That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same times next week and each week after. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل الفرج.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here we have some of the students of Sevier International School in holy city of Qom, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, brother Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Salam, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah, how are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Okay, that's good. I'm good, alhamdulillah. And Hussein Rahullah?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Everything is all right?
Yes.
Okay, so I really welcome you all. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, today our main topic is to talk about Ayah 135 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRB English Radio, please make sure you have your Quran with you. Turn to page 21 of Surah of the Quran Kareem, Ayah 135 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Juz'ul Awwal. So, let's once everyone listen to this.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. I'm gonna read it. Please make sure you listen and repeat. Ready?
Yes.
Let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا.
وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا
قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا
قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا
وما كان من المشركين
وما كان من المشركين.
Ahsantum. Thank you so much. One important point I have to tell you about how to improve in your recitation. All right? This is an important point, guys. I might have mentioned it before, but brothers and sisters, listen to this, please. If you want to get very much fluent, very much good at recitation, there are some steps. All right? First important step is that you have to be able to read the Quran correctly. Look, I'm reading this way. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Even if you don't know Tajweed, at least you should be able to read the words, the harakat correctly. If you, for example, read وَقَالُوا, while there is وَقَالُوا, right? If you make these mistakes, your recitation is not going to be good anyway. Okay, it's not going to be good. You make sure you fix all the mistakes in reading of the Quran. For then when you learn the reading and fluency level 1, level 2 of the Quran Kareem, when you finish this, then you can practice with some audios. I can introduce you. The reciter, his name is Al-Husari, Khalil Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari. Some other reciters as well, okay? But I have chosen this for some of my students I've introduced. So Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari, he has many levels of recitation and practicing, okay? He has many levels, the audios, okay? The very important one, the best one, is when you want to practice the reading, not recitation. Look, reading with recitation, they are different. Reading is the way you read, like textbooks. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُدًا أَوْ. This is reading, okay? Or you say, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. This is reading. Recitation is that you have vocal sounds.
وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا.
Look, this has a voice, okay? So it's different. For the first step is you should be perfect at reading. Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari has an application, okay? I've downloaded it today. And you can find it on Quran for Android as well, in app stores. And also you can go to iOS for iOS systems. Okay, you can also download this. It's called Husari, okay, Muallim Gapless. The name of the audio. Husari, Muallim Gapless. Or Al-Mushaful Muallim. Mushaful Muallim Khalil Mahmoud Khalil Husari. Download this audio, okay? He recited very well. Let's listen to this ayah with Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari and Muallim Gapless or Mushaf Al-Muallim. Let's once listen.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa qalu kunu hudan aw nasara tahtadu. قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Yeah, look how beautiful it was. So he reads it this way. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. Right? He recited it this way. So he does, he reads it this way, okay? He doesn't recite. So when you finish this level, when you were so good at reading, even with tajweed rules, then you can go for the next step, which is recitation. And again, he has levels of recitation, okay? He has mujawwad recitation. He has gapless recitation. The mujawwad one is slow recitation. Like he says,
وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا.
He recited this way. Slow, okay? But recites it. Then Mujawwad, and this is Mujawwad one. And then Gapless one, he is faster, like Tartil we have, okay? Tartil one. So he recited that way, okay? So steps are there. So if you want to get professional at reading correctly and with good voice, okay? Also reading with good voice. So try Khalil Mahmoud Khalil Husari, Mushaful Muallim. Mushaful Muallim. I have the two apps, two parts it has, okay? I have here. I can give you part one, part two, okay? So, brothers and sisters, you can download on App Store. It's available, okay? It's written Mushaful Husari, Mushaful Muallim for adults, okay? Part one, part two. So, thank you so much. That was a message, and I don't think we have much time to explain about this ayah, so just let's go to Tajweed rules, all right?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا. هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the explanation, please refer to the Tafsir book because we explained some about recitation, reading. We don't have much time. So, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا. Just let me say the translation, okay? That's enough. And they say, okay, who say? Christians and the Jews. Be either Jews or Christians. Okay? Why? Why? They say, that you may be rightly guided. They're inviting us to be Christians or Jews so that we will be guided. Come on, you should be a Christian. You'll be guided. Okay? Say, rather, we will follow the creed of Abraham alayhi salam, a Hanif, the one who was on the straight path. And he was not one of the polytheists. He was a theist. Okay? He was... Theist means the one who believes in one God. And polytheist means the one who believes in many gods. Astaghfirullah, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a polytheist. So, guys, let's go for the tajweed rules. وَقَالُوا. Make sure it has a long vowel. كُونُوا vowel. هُودًا long vowel. Three long vowels. So, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا. Three long vowel sounds. Pay attention. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا. All right?
Yes.
هُودًا. Here we have a tanween plus hamza. So, what is the rule? We say that for each tanween, for each nun sakin, we have a rule. So,
for this
one, how should we do? Know this?
The alif mad. The mad letter.
Where is the mad letter?
Oh, no, tanween. Sorry.
The tanween.
Yeah,
tanween.
Yeah.
We just pronounced the tanween.
That alif is there to tell you that if you stop here, tanween fatha is changed to alif.
Yes.
That's nothing else, okay?
We
it doesn't say it mat.
Recite dal just as it is. Hudan.
Ah. And recite it the way it is.
Yeah.
Don't change anything. Idhar. Mashallah tafawad. Mashallah. Hudan aw nasara. Why? Because Hamza is through a letter. Idhar is applied. Idhar means no rule.
Yes.
Aw nasara. Two heavy letters. Do not write nasari. Because ya, that's not actually ya, that's alif maqsura, nasara. Tahtadu. Qala, right? There is qala. It's a sign of stopping. What is what?
Waqf is better.
Waqf is better. What is
to
what?
Stop.
Waqf is better.
Yes.
Then, wasl. Better to stop here. Qul bal millata Ibrahima hanifan.
Hanifa,
hanifan. Okay, so again, salah here. Salah is just the opposite of qala, right?
Yeah,
better to
continue.
Wasl is better.
Continue.
Okay, hanifan. Here, tanwin fatha. If you stop, it changes to
alif mad.
Alif mad, hanifa. Okay, wama kana minal
mushrikeen.
There is no other difficult rule. So, simple rules are here. But guys, remember those points that I told you about levels of reading and recitation, okay? Download those apps. Inshallah, you'll be having a good time and you will have a good experience, inshallah, okay? With learning the Quran. So I've done it with one of my students. Hey, he's so good now. Alhamdulillah, he's reciting. His reading is very good now. He has just done for like 50 sessions or 60 sessions and now he can read Quran very easily. He's in UK. So alhamdulillah, it's very good. You just need to search a little bit, okay? There are a lot of apps that can help you a lot. So guys, thank you so much. Do you have any questions?
No.
Hassan Hussein, Adi Nasser, nothing?
No.
Brothers and sisters, no questions? Oh, okay, no questions. Thank you. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International School, which is an English international school. Thank you so much. الله بلس إن شاء الله والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرج
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.